when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. Oh, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Oh, then sings my soul, oh, my Savior God, to I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die. Oh, I scarce can take it in that on that cross my burdens gladly bearing, He bled and He died, oh, just to take away my sins. Thank you, Father. Oh, then sings my shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. Oh, what joy shall fill my heart. Oh, then I shall bow in humble
Come to worship this morning.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh,
Jesus.
We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Ah, you're worthy, Father. We love you this morning.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh,
play that again. Why don't you just reach over and grab one another by the hand and greet one another this morning?
Worthy of our praise this morning, isn't he?
Amen. going to sing this song, wasn't going to sing it, felt led to sing it, and I've just been battling up here, but you know what, I just feel led to sing this song. I know you guys know it. I'm going to put the words up here.
The touch of hands so kind and tender, oh, they're leading me in paths that I must trod. I'll have no fear, for my Jesus walks beside me.
This morning. Amen. It's good to be in church. It's good to have all of our home folks here. And if there's any visitors, we'd like to welcome you to church and pray that you receive a blessing while you're here. And God bless you. Have a testimony to read from Sister Dottie Bryant. It says here, praise report. The devil tried all night Tuesday, October the 22nd, to give me the symptoms of carpal tunnel, which I am healed of. I like that. But the pain and numbness in my right arm, hand and arm were worse than ever before. All night I kept telling Satan, I am healed, and in the morning all the pain was gone. But that didn't stop him. That day I had major pain in my neck, back, and legs. On the way to church, I worried about having to sit all through church because it hurt me to stand. I made myself stand at the beginning of service, and when Brother Tim brought the powerful message, at the end I stood with everyone else all the way to dismissal, then stood around outside visiting for a while. I was healed by the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sure appreciate those praise reports. It's encouraging to hear what God's doing for his people. So if he does something for you, let us know. Amen. God bless you. As we go to prayer, I want to remember Brother Josh Leek and Sister Leah Leek for Traveling Mercies. And Brother Jeremy Burt said, please keep my friend with cancer, James Bradley, in prayer. He has test results on Monday that are very important. Thank you. Have a prayer request here. It says, please remember Bethany Albee in prayer, October the 31st. She is having a test done on her bladder, believing this is the time the Lord will manifest an impossible to be possible. God bless Brother Danilo and Sister Stephanie Albee. Amen. We're believing with you guys. God bless you. Amen. Brother Jimmy, it's good to have you back. We've missed you, brother. Would you come up and pray over these prayer requests? God bless you.
Bless you, everyone. Glad to be home. Let's go before the Lord and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege, Lord, to enter your gates with thanksgiving and praise, Lord. Lord, how I've longed to be home, Lord. But Lord, there's a greater home looking forward to today, Lord Jesus. Father, I ask you, Lord, to manifest yourself on these tests that the people are going through, Lord. The one that's facing the cancer, Lord, that's nothing to you. You healed me, Lord. I'm a standing testimony here today, Lord, by your grace, Lord. Lord, they said that I wouldn't live 3 months. But Father, I stand here today with my hands up to you, thanking you, Lord, for all you've done for me, Lord Jesus. So Father, we ask you to reveal yourself to these people, manifest yourself in a special way, Lord. Lord, that they can stand there and say, I know my God healeth me. And Father, we ask you to take preeminence over the service here today, Lord. May you get all the glory, Lord. Father, may you walk up and down the aisles. Talk with us, Lord. Hold us in your arms, Lord, as we sung that song, Lord. Sheltered in your arms, Lord. And Father, we thank you for this place, Lord. You gave us this little place of refuge, Lord. Father, you're the vine and we're the branches. This may be just a little branch, but Father, we ask you to visit us today, Lord. Increase our faith, Lord. Father, let the fruits of your spirit, Lord, go throughout this building, Lord. And Father, we'll ever give you the praise and honor for it. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all that you do for us. And Father, we turn this service over to your capable hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning, church. This morning we're going to be reading the 73rd chapter of the book of Psalms. That's 7-3. And we'll read the first 14 verses. The Lord willing, we'll finish it up next week. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart.
As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had run my slip.
For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
For there are no advances in their death, but their strength is firm.
They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men.
Therefore, pride can pass us down to shame. Violence covereth them as harm.
Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish.
They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily.
They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth.
Waters of full cup are running out.
And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. God bless you. Please be seated.
God bless you. At this time we have a special from Brother Caleb Lehichanu.
Amen. God bless you. The other day I was thinking and I was listening to this message of Junction Time, and Brother Branham says in it, he says, watching nature, you can see God if you watch the way nature moves. I thought, that's right. God taking his church out of the old nests of the world. He set them in view of the land here where there's just shouting and praising God and having a good old rejoicing in the old camp meeting. And I truly believe that there's going to be a view of the land someday, and we're all striving for that. And God bless you. I hope this is a blessing. Kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Oh, beautiful. I'm looking now just across the river to where my faith will end inside. There's just a few shall be eternal.
Amen. Sure appreciate that. There, our home will be eternal. It's something we can't hardly fathom, is it? Amen. Appreciate that song. If the brothers would please come at this time. This is 237 in your book. Amen. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love, and it wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He'll hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk when Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my path seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mists of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He'll hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little. Let's stand and sing this last verse. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but my Jesus is a friend. He watches day and night. I can go to him in prayer, and he knows my every
Amen. Is that how you feel about it this morning? Amen. Thankful that we can have a talk with him. And amen. Whatever you have need of, maybe you say, well, I can't talk to this one about it, or can't talk to that one about it. They wouldn't understand. But there's one who knows and understands. Amen. Certainly good to have Brother Jimmy back with us. I thought we was going to have to announce him as a visitor, but we're glad to have you back, brother. Amen. Good to have him with us. And good to have each and every one of you with us this morning. And let's just turn this morning, if you would, to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21. I want to say I appreciate all the brothers and sisters that helped with the youth Bible studies and the youth gym and the couples meeting here, and all the ones that volunteered there to help at the gym with the young people chaperoning and things, and just glad to see what the Lord's doing for our young people. And amen. We're blessed. We're blessed. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to come and, Lord, to be in your presence. Lord, we thank you for health, to be able to get out and come to the house of the Lord. When, Lord, there's many that would love to be in services, but due to sickness or different things, Father, and unable to make it, Lord. And Lord, may we not take it for granted, but may we recognize, Lord, that there's people in other countries, Lord, communist countries and places where they're unable to meet like this openly, and they have to meet in secret and smuggle Bibles in and out and things. Father, we're so blessed in this age, Lord, to be able to have the word in printed form. And not only that, Lord, but to have a prophet come in this age, Lord, and have it in recorded form where we could hear, Lord, your voice speaking to us in this age again. And Lord, not only that, but that you would come and make your abode in us and live in us, Lord, and speak to our hearts, and that you would lead us and guide us each step of the way. And Lord, we just ask that you'd be with us in the service this morning. Lord, help me to get myself out of the way so that you could use me as you would see fit and be with each one that's here. Lord, no doubt there's needs and pressures and struggles of life that each one is facing, Father, but I just ask that you would bring them comfort through your word this morning, and may we go out of here encouraged, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated this morning. I had texted a young brother a quote earlier this week that I had heard, and he had texted me one back, and we were just having some fellowship that in that manner, and I was telling him what a privilege that it is to be able to have the Word of God as a guide to us in our life, that it could help us navigate through different things that we face. And when we have a problem or we have a question, that we can go to the Word and that we can look to the Word. And I thank God that He didn't just send us His Word, but He sent us back His Spirit as well to lead us and to guide us. And as we've been looking at this thought of the congregation, I want to pick back up on that this morning and look at this, how that the pillar of fire would lead them and guide them. And this word, this Hebrew word for guide or for lead, rather, it's a word that means to lead or guide. And it's something that this word, I want to look into it a little bit further. The English word of it, this is just from your dictionary, the word guide means to assist a person to travel through or reach a destination in an unfamiliar area as by accompanying or giving directions to the person. So we've never gone this way before, the path that we're walking. None of us know the future. God can look and He can see by foreknowledge. He knows what's ahead. But there's none of us that know really what tomorrow holds. Yet we can take peace and comfort in knowing that we know the one who holds tomorrow. And as I was talking with some young people at the youth Bible study on Thursday night, you know, we were discussing about things, about how that God, He leads us a step at a time. And one of the young brothers there, he said, well, it'd be nice sometimes if He'd just show us the rest of the way. I said, well, that'd be nice in one way, but in another way, if we knew what tomorrow held and what different things were, it would get us in a lot of trouble as well. My wife, she's 4 years older than me, and had I known when I was 14 that I was going to marry her, I would have started driving her crazy, and she would have thought at 18, who is this little 14-year-old, and what does he think he's going to do? Oh, but God showed me. Well, He hasn't showed me yet. So sometimes it's good that God doesn't show us ahead, and you know, and it makes us dependent on Him, that He knows, and He can lead us and guide us, and He can take us, because where we've never been this way before, He already knows what the future holds, and He's guiding us to a destination that He wants to take us to, and we don't know all the ways and all the curves and the tunnels and the things it'll take to get there, but He knows every step of the way, so it encourages us to be dependent on Him. And Then again, a meaning of this word is to accompany a sightseer, to show points of interest, and to explain their meaning or significance. And I was reminded of how, you know, Brother Hoover and I quite a bit will take groups and take them on a tour of some things of Jeffersonville. And lately we've been taking them out to Milltown and Salem and different places where the prophet of God was and different experiences that he had. And you hear him tell those things many times on tape. But to go and actually see the places where he was and where these stories are, to see Georgie Carter's house. And it, you kind of have a mental image then of when he's telling the story, your mind goes back to those things that you've seen. And I was thinking, if you know, if somebody that didn't know anything about that or didn't know where the places were, they couldn't take somebody and show them the things that we do, because they've never had those experiences to know where to take the person or the stories behind it or different things that brothers have shared with us over the years. And so we have an experienced guide this morning. He's experienced. He knows. And I can't imagine, you know, Brother Hoover and I getting in the van and some brother from South Africa that had never been here before sit down beside us. And he said, "Now, you brothers, just listen to me. I'm going to tell you a few things about where we're going to go and what we're going to do." Never been to the United States in his life, but he's going to tell us. Wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, but that's what we do essentially to God in many cases. When it comes to our own life, we don't know what the future holds, but we feel like we've got a better way and a better plan than he does, but it never works out that way. Does God ever change his mind about his word? 1965, Brother Bram said, Israel of the Old Testament is a type of the bride of the New Testament. And so we find that just as God would lead and guide Israel in the Old Testament, he's wanting to lead and guide his bride in the New Testament. He wants to lead us and guide us and show us. And many times when we're facing things and we're looking, we're like the man Brother Branham talked about there that he ran into at a meeting. And Brother Branham was up in some of the area where he was born and raised in Kentucky there, and had a meeting. And he was going to go and stay at either his cousin or his uncle's house there, I think. And a man came to him after service, and he said, "You know," he said, I don't believe in what you all are talking about." He said, I think that, you know, you have to be able to show me something plainly of what it is before I can have faith in it or believe it." And he said, "So many of these things that you talk about, I just can't see them." And Brother Bram said, "Well, you must be from Missouri, I guess." He said, "No, I'm from Kentucky." And he said, "Well, it doesn't speak very good for Kentucky." But he began to talk to the man. The man said, "I'd like you to come home with me, Brother Branham, and come back to my place." And Brother Bram said, "Well, I'm staying with this relative over here." But said, how do you get to your place?" He said, "Oh, you go up around the hill here, and it's over down the through the valley there and up around the corner," and sits back there, a little cabin. And he said, "Well, how are you going to see there?" He said, "It's dark now after the service, and you can't see your home. How will you ever get there?" He said, "Well, I've got this lantern." And he said, "I just hold it out in front of me, and it takes me one step at a time." He said, "That's exactly right." So he was going to a destination that he couldn't see, but yet he had a light that would guide him one step at a time. Amen. And that's how we find ourselves this morning. When we're navigating our way through life's journey, and when we're navigating our way through decisions and through pressures and stress and things like that, sometimes it can feel overwhelming, and usually it's because we try to do it all on our own. But we have a guide that can help us navigate through these things if we'll just hold that light that's a lamp to our feet and a guide to our path out in front of us, and let the Word of God and His Spirit begin to quicken that to us and lead us through life. Journey. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So if you're a son or a daughter of God, then you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. And we're dependent on the Spirit of God. I'm dependent this morning on the Spirit of God. I can get up here and, you know, with the grace of God, as long as I have sight and as long as I have my mental capacity and all that, I can get up here without the Holy Spirit, and I can read through my notes, I can read the quotes, and I can read the scriptures, and I can say a few words, and it would fall flat, and we would leave here and say, "Well, that was confusing. I'm not sure what that was all about. Just seemed like it wasn't really church this morning." But I'm glad that we don't have to just do that, but that we can depend on the Holy Spirit to come and quicken His Word and come and anoint a vessel. And you know, many times we get so focused on the vessel. "Well, I prefer this vessel or that vessel or whatever it would be." But you know, when my wife goes, and of a morning she comes and she cooks me breakfast, I don't really care what plate she picks as long as the food that's on it is good. And when she pours me my coffee, Brother Hoover, I don't really care which mug she picks as long as she pours the coffee and the coffee's good and all that. I'm not so concerned about the vessel as I'm concerned about what's coming out of the vessel. So, it's okay to have our favorite preachers and our favorite evangelists and all this and our favorite tape and our favorite quote and all those things. But hey, the word is the word, and so we should be receptive to it regardless of the vessel. Amen. So I'm not so dependent on the vessel or so dependent on my own ability or some other man's ability to memorize or, oh, this one is dynamic or that or whatever. Hey, there's a lot of guys out here in the denominational ranks or even just good guys that will give you a pep talk to encourage you and give you some advice on your business or things like that, that they're dynamic. But we're looking for something more than that when we come to church. Amen. We're looking for something that'll ground us in the Word and that'll stay with us. And so I want to encourage you this morning to let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. Listen to that still small voice as He would speak to you. And many times we're waiting for some huge sign for God to give us, and we're waiting for the thunders and the lightnings and for God just to write it so plainly on the wall or whatever it would be. But many times God moves in a subtle way that He'll just speak so softly to our heart that if we're not careful and if we're not looking for His voice, many times we'll miss it. And as I've said before, I don't want God to have to yell at me. I want Him to be able to speak in a still, small voice to me, and that I would be receptive of it enough that at His least little nudge that I would be able to be receptive and say, okay, Lord, I'll go. Amen. Many times in the Scripture, the Lord will have to say somebody's name twice or three times or whatever it be to get their attention. Sometimes He had to do drastic things to get somebody's attention. But, I want to be able for the Lord to speak and for me to be able to hear. And we many times we're so caught up with everything else in our life, the busyness of our schedule and the stress and the pressures that when God is trying to speak, many times it just goes in one ear and out the other, or we fail to even recognize that it's Him speaking. So we want to be able to watch like the children of Israel did. They wouldn't move, Brother Branham tells us, and the Scripture shows us, when the pillar of fire would stop in one place, they would stop right there and not move until the pillar of fire moved. And then when the pillar of fire began to move, if it was 2 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon or whatever it was, they would pack up camp and they would follow the pillar of fire. Now, they had their ups and their downs, as we've looked at. They had their grumblings and their complainings. And, oh, to look at them, they had some terrible problems. That they were unsatisfied and they were always complaining to the prophet and to the priest and to this one and to that one, and they had their problems. But one thing that you could say about Israel was that they followed the pillar of fire wherever it went. Amen. So if we can follow the pillar of fire as it begins to move in our midst. Now, you may see it or you may never see the pillar of fire in the way that it was caught and photographed there in Sam Houston Coliseum. You may never see it tangibly like that with your eye, but that doesn't mean that you can't let it lead you and guide you, because that same pillar of fire is still in the camp this morning. Amen. The shout of the king is still in the camp this morning, and God is still leading His people. And I want to say, and I've said it before, and I'm going to keep saying it and reiterating it to you, God will never lead you. Brother M says it over and over and over again. It's not one secluded quote or just over way back in 1947 or something. He says it consistently throughout the message over and over and over again. God will never lead you contrary to His word. Amen. So when you go, and I've had different people tell me, oh, I feel led to do this, Brother Nathan, and oh, I feel led to do that. And many times I just let them go and figure it out for themselves. But I want to say, well, God couldn't be leading you to do that, because it's contrary to His word, and God will never lead you contrary to His word. Amen. Well, God is a good father. God is a good father. And we as fathers, as earthly fathers, we would be a terrible father to tell our children one thing, say, this is the way it is, Nathaniel, you got to do this, and then I would go out and lead him and encourage him to go a different way than what I had told him. I would be a terrible father by setting a double standard to do something like that. But God is a good father. And so when God tells us something in His word, He's going to stay with His word. He's not going to change His mind. I was just listening to the tape last night. Does God ever change His mind about His word in 1965? And the answer is, He doesn't. He cannot. Brother Branham said in the Church Age book that God is unchangeable and his ways are unchangeable. So when God does something, he's going to consistently do that. He's not going to tell Brother Jimmy to do one thing and show him in the Word and then tell me to do something totally contrary that's not in the Word. God doesn't work like that. Now, we all have our own personalities and our own callings, and God may lead you to a certain thing that's within the Word that he's wanting you to fulfill that role, and he may not call me to that role, but he's not going to call either one of us to something that's contrary to what his Word is. Luke chapter 12, verse 11, "And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say." Now, if we took this just the way that it's written here in the English language, in the King James Version, and we just read it verbatim the way that it's said here and performed it that way, then I would be wrong to study and have notes before the service. And these other brothers were up, because we're not supposed to take any thought what we're going to say beforehand, but just depend on the Holy Spirit. But yet you find Brother Branham, he would get to a place, he said, "When I was young, I could memorize my notes, but I never was that young where I could just memorize all my notes and the scriptures and things like that. I never have had that good a memory." But he said he got to a place where, and you maybe you've been to Voice of God there and seen the notes on his desk there of the rapture sermon. And, you know, he would have little things on his notes that maybe nobody else would know exactly what it was, but he'd draw a picture of a star or whatever it would be, and that would trigger something in his memory that he would know what he was going to refer to there. And but he would have many handwritten notes and scriptures and things. So I want to look at this word and settle us a little bit on these things, because many times we just read the Bible like a newspaper, and we don't really study and pray and seek God for the understanding of it. And when we do that, Brother Abraham said it's a Eastern book, and that we read it with a Western mentality. And many times we get confused, because when it would say things like a camel not being able to go through the eye of a needle, that a rich man entering into heaven would be like that. And we think of a little bitty eye of a needle with a thread, but the needle's eye was a gate that would go into the city, and it was short, that a man could just pass through it comfortably. But for a camel to get through this gate, if the regular gates were busy and there was traffic lined up of the camel trains and the cattle trains and all this, and somebody said, "Hey, I've got a shortcut around here you can go through," and you get there and it's only about this tall and you got your camel with you, you said, "Well, it's going to be really hard for him to go through." But if the camel was trained correctly, the camel could drop to his knees and crawl through that same door, even though it wasn't made for a camel, yet it was possible. It was just a lot more difficult for it to be able to do that. So many times we read things in the scriptures and we read it with a Western mentality and just in our language, and we get confused on it. But when it says here, "Take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer," this word here means to be anxious or to be troubled with cares. Don't be anxious or troubled about what you're going to say, because the Holy Spirit is going to quicken it to you. That doesn't mean that we can't, you know, I've got a meeting with a brother and we need to talk about some things, but I shouldn't jot down any notes or anything, because the Holy Spirit's just going to lead me and guide me. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you, but the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom too. Amen. It's okay to make preparations. Remember, the same God that we'll look at here in just a moment, one of the other scriptures, let's just go ahead and look at it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So if we read this scripture and we don't realize what the meaning of the actual word is, then, well, we just won't worry about tomorrow. If I have a job or if I don't have a job, or if I feel like applying myself or not, or, you know, maybe your job, you don't have as much work in the winter, but I'll just blow through my money in the summer, and then we'll just depend on God to take care of us through the winter. God gives you wisdom as well. And the same prophet of God that would read scriptures like this would also turn around and tell us, plant your potatoes. Amen. You say, well, Brother Branham, you know, he told him, he said, Brother Branham, we're just waiting on the rapture and the coming of the Lord, and it's so close, we just won't make any preparations. He said, go ahead and plant your potatoes anyhow, because he said, even if he comes, there'll be some people that won't take a rapture that'll need those potatoes. Many of them stopped making preparations in 1976 because, hey, 1977 was coming. Everybody that was in, you know, talking to one another, sweethearts and things, they went ahead and got married real quick. Marriages spiked in the message in 1976 because the 1977 was coming, and they failed to read what the prophet actually said. He said, I predict, I do not prophesy. And, you know, that mentality didn't stop in 1977, but then theologians and scholars would put together their calendars and their dates, and they would make predictions, and hey, when it got close to that time, hey, the coming of the Lord's happening in 1987 or 1992 or whatever year it was, or oh my, when 2000 came, they just let's run up the credit cards, let's do this, let's stop paying the house payment because the Lord's coming in 2000. How did that work out for people? Because they weren't making preparations. Amen. So this word, take no thought, again, it means to not be anxious or to be troubled with cares. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be upset. Well, I've got to meet with this brother, and I don't know what he's going to say. And what if he's got something against me? Or what if he's found out some secret of mine? He's wanting to try to expose me. Or what if he's going to argue with me about doctrine, and I just don't know what to say? And you stay up all night with a stomach ache from worrying and being bothered. You wake up, and you're tired, and you're weary, and you get there, and the brother says, I just wanted to tell you I really appreciated the way you did this or that, and I just wanted to take you out to eat. And you think, all that worrying and all that stress and all that anxiety and all those pressures, when the scripture told us don't do those things. Amen. Don't get upset. Don't be worried. Don't be troubled. We have a Holy Spirit that is leading us and guiding us. Amen. And it's okay to make preparations, but, you know, I study and I read and I pray and I put notes together, but then when I come out here, I'm not depending on my studying and my quotes and my scriptures and my notes. I'm not depending on that. I'm depending on the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me. Amen. If I was just depending on a piece of paper or an iPad, I would never come out that back door. I would never do it. I wouldn't want to face 200 or whatever, however many people's here this morning and come out here with just my notes. But I'm coming out here knowing that the unction of the Holy Spirit, that He'll meet me and that He'll be with me and that He'll help me and that He'll lead me and guide me, and He'll have me say things and I'll think, Lord, why did I even say that? That didn't even go with the rest of the sermon. And somebody's sitting out there just praying and seeking and saying, God, send him down my pew. Let him speak something to my circumstance and my situation. And as I've told you before, and I'll keep telling you, I'm not a prophet. God doesn't come and tell me, thus saith the Lord, Brother Jimmy needs this or this one needs that. But I want to say as well that the word is still anointed, and that the word is still a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And He can lead your pastor or an evangelist, or He can lead you to pick the right tape or to open up the Bible to the right scripture for your daily reading. And He'll have exactly what you have need of, because He is still leading and He is still guiding His people. Amen. Amen. So don't be upset and don't be worried and don't be anxious this morning. God is still in control. Amen. Amen. He's able to lead you. He's able to guide you down the path that you have need of. Again, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Now here, there's two sisters, and as far as history teaches us, Martha was the oldest and Mary was the youngest. They had a brother that you may know, his name was Lazarus. And they had a home there in Bethany that when Jesus would come by, He would stay with them. Brother Branham tells us He was childhood friends with them. He tells us that Jesus and Lazarus would walk down to the River Jordan together when John was baptizing there on the river, and that when John would baptize Jesus and would say, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, that Lazarus would faint there on the side of the Jordan River. You say, well, I haven't read that in the Bible. Well, I have prophet either, but the same prophets that wrote the Bible, God still anoints prophets in this age to be able to tell us things. I can imagine Moses when he sat there and he began to write about Esau and he began to write about Jacob, and somebody sitting there maybe reading over his shoulder said, "How do you know those things? How do you know those details? You weren't there." He said, "Oh, I just saw it a few minutes ago." Amen. A prophet of God would come to the pulpit in this age and he would say, "Oh, I stayed up till about 1 a.m. fellowshipping with some of the brothers last night. I was so excited about something that took place." He said, "When I stepped to the platform and began to call the prayer line," he said, "I saw a vision open up over the audience and I saw Adam and Eve step arm in arm out of the garden together." Amen. No wonder he could tell us what color of hair that Eve had and what color eyes she had. He saw it in technicolor. Amen. He didn't have television. He had the vision. Amen. Amen. He was able to see it. Oh, my. You know, everybody's talking about the cloud today. Did you upload this to the cloud? And did you download that from the cloud? But he was downloading nuggets from the cloud from 47 to 65. Amen. We even got to see it come visibly there in 1963. Amen. We've been downloading from the cloud a long time before anybody knew anything about a cloud. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. No wonder he could tell us what color eyes she had in these things. He was seeing it right there. So I it doesn't stumble me when he gives us these details. It just excites me to be able to know the rest of the story. And so Mary and Martha, here they were. And Martha, you know, she was very mindful of serving. And that's wonderful. She was very good at doing the works and washing the pots and the pans and making sure everybody was fed. And here sat Mary at Jesus' feet, astounded and astonished at his words. And here Mary is grumbling there in the kitchen, washing the pans. Bless God, there she is. Every time he comes over, all she wants to do is just sit and listen to him talk. And here I am washing the dishes and doing this and serving the food and baking the biscuits and all this. And there she is just sitting there. And so she comes out and she begins to complain a little bit to Jesus. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Now he's not telling her, "Martha, let the dishes just pile up to the ceiling and don't ever do no chores and don't ever do the dishes and don't ever cook nothing for nobody and don't ever serve somebody." But what he's telling her is there's a time for works and there's a time to just sit in the presence of God and let his word bathe over you and change you and make you into something. And here Mary is totally engulfed with what he's saying and Martha's missing it in the kitchen. The presence of God unrecognized in Martha's home. He says, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." This is this exact same word, "take no thought." "Thou art careful" means to be anxious or to be troubled with cares. This word Martha, the name, her very name means she was rebellious. Now I figure it's better to have your name say she was rebellious than she is rebellious. Amen. Paul would say, "As such were some of you, but you're washed, you're cleansed." Amen. So there's something about rebellion. Samuel tells them there in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, or verse 22 and 23, says, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." To obey is better than sacrifice. To just take God at his word, and the simple obedience of his word is better than any penance or any going above and beyond of some super spiritual, super duper something that you would try to do. Just take God at his word and obey his word. That's better than all the sacrificing that you could ever do. He says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Now that sounds strange, that witchcraft and you know, they would have the ones that would be there in the days of Samuel, the witch of Endor that would come, and they called them diviners, that they would divine up the dead and talk to them and have conversations with them. And Brother Branham teaches us that anything that communes with the dead is spiritualism. Amen. So I don't want to have anything to do with that. Somebody said, oh, we pray in Brother Branham's name. You're a spiritualist then. You've got a witchcraft Catholic spirit on you. Because he's in another dimension. He can't hear you. Amen. But we serve a God that transcends dimensions and time and space and eternity. Amen. He's the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. You say, well, why? Why would this be? Because witchcraft is to allow another spirit to come and take control of you. You're trying to conjure up or summons up this other spirit to take control of you. And if you're rebelling from the word of God, then it's another spirit aside from the Spirit of God that is controlling you. I don't know about you. I don't want to be led or guided or prompted or encouraged by some other spirit, but I want the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me through my actions. Some of you teenagers, I know, hey, I was a rebellious teenager one time too, but one day I woke up and recognized that is contrary to the Word of God. Amen. The same God that would tell you, let no man despise your youth, would also tell you, honor thy father and thy mother. You know, and that commandment didn't have an expiration date on it. My daddy will be 77 years old here in a few, in about 2 months or a month and a half. But yet I still honor my father and my mother. Amen. Here I am, you know, I'm pushing 40, but I still honor my father and my mother. Now our roles have changed. I'm no longer a 5-year-old. I'm no longer a 2-year-old. I'm no longer a 12-year-old. They don't have to change my diapers anymore. They don't have to pay for my bills anymore. Oh, isn't that that's one of the mysteries of the last ages, isn't it? A child in their 30s that can provide for themselves without their mommy and their daddy. Well, praise the Lord. I love my kids, and they can stay at home as long as they want. But you know what? When they get their own bills, they're going to have to pay for their own bills. Amen. That doesn't mean I'll never help them out if they get in the pinch. But there comes a point where once I was a child and I thought as a child, but then I became a man and I began to have manly thoughts. So we don't want to think as a child and speak as a child at 25 or 30 or 40 or whatever it would be. But our roles have changed. And you know, I'm an adult now, and I'm a pastor of a church now, and I'm all these different things. But yet that's still my daddy, and that's still my mommy. And I still respect and honor them because God's word told me to, and because as far as I'm concerned, they deserve it. Amen. They've been good, godly Christians that have raised me up to serve the Lord and showed me this message truth. So, amen, they deserve my honor and my respect. And many times, you know, sometimes we look at things and you know, we get to the age of 18 and we think we got it all figured out. I can forget who it was, but some young man had told his parents recently, said, well, I'm 19 getting ready to turn 20. So he said, I won't be a teenager anymore. So if there's anything you need to know before I stop being a teenager, let me know and I'll tell you. Because teenagers, you know, they think they've got it all figured out. And you are growing and you are learning and you're beginning to get your own individuality, and God's beginning to lead you and being able to place things on your heart, and you're becoming this adult and things like that. But you've also got a mommy and a daddy there that's been down the path of life many, many years longer than you have. And it may take you 10 years, it may take you 20 years, it may take you 30 years, it may take them putting the lid on the casket of your parents and putting them in the ground for the last time. But there'll come a point when you realize they knew more than I thought they did, and they were more right than I thought they were. Well, I don't know who that was for, but praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. Martha, so worried about the works and doing all these things. Now, this was a wonderful thing. Martha wasn't just serving Susie down the road or whoever it would be, but she had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sitting in her home. And they had recognized that there was something different about this man. And no doubt, she wanted the recipe to be just exactly right. And she wanted the forks and the knives and the spoons to be set exactly the right way. And the little table squares and napkins to be positioned just exactly right. And she wanted the temperature in the oven to be just exactly perfect, to make sure the bread wasn't too burnt, but that it wasn't just a bunch of nasty dough that she was giving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so she's so particular and so worried. No doubt she stayed up half the night planning and getting everything coordinated. And now here she is stressed and trying to serve everybody that was there. No doubt they were hanging out the windows and standing outside the doors trying to get in because they knew Jesus had come to Bethany and they wanted to have fellowship with him. And she's trying to serve everybody and make everybody happy. And here sits her sister at the feet of the Lord Jesus, just sitting there looking up at him. And here she's got trays of bread to be served and napkins to be straightened and things to be put on the table. And she's just stressed and anxious and wringing her hands. She said, "Lord, would you tell her to get up and help me?" He said, "Well, Martha, I hate to tell you, but she's doing the more important thing right now. I know you think that all the works that you're doing and all you're running, and I did this for the church, and I did this for this one, and I did this for that one. That's wonderful, Martha, and we appreciate that, Martha, and somebody's got to do that, Martha. But every once in a while, you got to take some time and just sit at the feet of Jesus." Amen. Because sometimes we run so many errands and run so many things that we realize, well, maybe I'm running from something because I'm always running this and running that. Why don't we just take some time and sit at the feet of Jesus and stop being so anxious and worried? And yes, we have obligations. And yes, we have things that we have to get done. But don't put all that before a moment at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Now, this is a scripture that you probably don't want to read your 10 or 12 or 14-year-old child without some understanding of the scripture. Because we want our children to be careful. When they go out into the world and they get around maybe friends that are in the world or they're in situations that maybe we'd prefer they not be in, but because of their school or because of this or that or the other, they're placed in these situations. We want them to be careful. And we want them, when they go out and they cross the road, we want our children to look both ways. I've told my children for years, look both ways when you go through the parking lot. Look both ways when you cross the street. Look both ways when you do this, that, or the other. And I still have to remind them over and over and over. I want them to be careful. I don't want them to play on the railroad tracks. So when the scripture says be careful for nothing, we need to be careful that our understanding of the scripture is right, because it's still this same word. Be anxious or be troubled for nothing. Amen. God wants us to be careful. He doesn't want us to jump out of a plane without a parachute. He wants us to be careful, but the meaning of the word is don't be anxious. Don't be troubled about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be troubled about anything. Well, there's this financial situation, or there's this tax problem, or there's this situation at home, or there's this situation at school, or there's this problem on my job, and I've beat my head against the wall, and I can't figure out how to fix it and make it right. Well, maybe that's because you're just getting anxious and troubled and upset about it, and you haven't spent enough time sitting at the feet of Jesus and letting him help you with the situation. You see, we have a guide that can lead us and guide us through these things. He can help us navigate through difficult conversations and through awkward circumstances and through those awkward moments at the Thanksgiving dinner table when you realize you don't believe just exactly like cousin so-and-so, and you have to have that awkward conversation to let him know, hey, I don't want to rub you the wrong way, but you're saying some things that I'd rather you not say in front of my children because we don't see it that way. That always makes the turkey digest real good, don't it? But the Holy Spirit can help you navigate those things. And if you try to navigate it, you're going to come across as some self-righteous know-it-all that wants to straighten everybody out. And that's not pleasing to the Lord. But the Holy Spirit can help you navigate through these things. He can help you navigate through those problems at work. He can help you navigate through those problems in your marriage or through those little flare-ups when your children are going through little rebellious states or when they're going through little tattling states or lying states or whatever condition it would be. He can help you. He can give you wisdom to navigate and help you through those situations. But he doesn't want you to be afraid. He doesn't want you to be scared or troubled or anxious. Brother Ram says in At Kadesh Barnea, 1956, God don't want you to be scared of nothing. Rest solemnly upon what he said. God doesn't want you to be scared. He doesn't want you to be upset. He wants you. He said, well, I'll just go ahead and read it to you. St. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, that was one of the signs of this age, is that men's hearts would be failing for fear. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, peace I leave unto you, and my peace I give unto you. So if we have the peace of Jesus Christ in our life, what should we be afraid about? What should we be troubled about? What should we be anxious about? Oh, if you only knew, Brother Nathan, the pressures that I was under and the things that I was going through. And I'm sure I'm not trying to belittle your problems or belittle your circumstances, but I'm trying to tell you, we serve a great big God that is bigger than your troubles, and he's bigger than your circumstances, and he already knows what the outcome is going to be. So instead of you trying to beat your head against the wall and try to make it all work and figure it all out, maybe we should just sit at the feet of Jesus and let him mold us and make us and guide us through these things. Amen. Now that's not just a license to say, well, I'll just never do anything. I'll just sit here and wait till Jesus comes. No, there are things that he wants you to do, but we need to listen to that still small voice and let him lead us and guide us in what to do. Many times we act without him prompting us to. Many times we speak without him prompting us to. We'd be better off just to wait and say, Lord, what would you have me say? How would you have me to address this situation? Is this just me? Is this just my personality? Is it just the Bryant or the Layton or the Eamon or whatever it is in me that's rising up a little bit, wanting to fix this or wanting to straighten this situation out? Or Lord, is this you that's leading me? And if it's you, Lord, then you're going to have to help me and show me a scriptural way that would be pleasing to you for me to handle this situation. Oh, we'd be a lot better off. A lot less anxiety and trouble and stress and pressures and white hairs and things if we would just let him take control of the situation. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, all your anxiety, all your troubles, cast it all on him. Lord, I'm tired of being nervous and upset. I'm tired of being anxious and troubled and fearful about everything. I'm going to cast all of my cares upon you. I'm going to take all of my anxiety and all my troubles, and I'm going to lay them at your feet, for he careth for you. This word here again, care or anxiety. Mark chapter 13, verse 11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Again, this word, take no thought beforehand, it means to be anxious beforehand. Don't get worked up and don't stress and worry all night about what tomorrow holds. Recognize that the same God that brought you through the last day can take you through the next one. Amen. Amen. He woke me up this morning, gave me breath in my body. Amen. Gave me strength, gave me sight, gave me a voice, gave me ears to hear the word of God. I am blessed this morning. Amen. Amen. He's brought me through many dangers, toils, and snares. Amen. And I'll admit to you, I'll just be honest with you this morning. There's been many times that I've had sleepless nights worrying about a meeting or worrying about a conversation or things like that because I was stressed and anxious about it beforehand. But you know what? God's word is encouraging us and exhorting us this morning. Stop. Stop being like that. Stop living fearful. Stop living anxious. Stop wringing your hands and being troubled, and recognize that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is navigating you through life's journey. Amen. Amen. If you can trust him, if you can trust him this morning, you was able to, did you lay awake all night last night wondering if you still have breath in your body this morning to wake up? Did you wonder if you'd still have strength in your hands to be able to comb your hair this morning? You know, some of you brothers, what few you have left. Did you worry about that last night? Lord, what? You know, my arm has worked all these years, but what if I wake up tomorrow and my arm just decides to stop working and I can't comb my hair anymore? Well, the same God that has allowed you to comb your hair all these years, 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or however many years you've been on the earth, he's able, if he was able to let you do that all these other years, don't you think he's able to tomorrow? You say, well, that's ridiculous, Brother Nathan. Why would I worry about that? Because the same God that's brought you through everything else, he's able to do the exact same thing tomorrow for you too. But you just don't know Brother so-and-so. You just don't know my family member. You just don't know my boss. You just don't know this situation in my family. You're right. I probably don't know it as well as you do. And I probably, you know, even though I could sympathize with you and try to encourage you and show you quotes and scriptures, I haven't walked a mile in your shoes to know exactly where you're at or what you're doing. But I'm trying to point you to somebody this morning who has. He knows what you're going through. He knows your heart. He knows your trial. He knows your troubles. He knows your temptations. He knows your weaknesses. And he loved you and he came and died for you anyhow. Amen. Amen. He knew what your troubles would be that's in the past. And he knows what your troubles will be in the future. Yes. And he's already got it laid out perfectly. And it's all working out. If you really believe the word, it's all working out according to his will and for your good that he's doing it. Yes. Amen. We should be able to have confidence in him like that. Lord, you can lead me and you can guide me. And yes, maybe sometimes I get myself in a terrible mess because I didn't let you lead and I didn't let you guide. And I got ahead of you, Lord. But even when I get myself in a mess, I can depend on you to get me out of it. Amen. He is faithful. There's many times that we haven't been faithful, but he is faithful. Amen. He's true to his word. He didn't just come and say these things in his word just to randomly, you know, make a pretty book that we could read and say, oh, isn't that a beautiful line? Wasn't that worded so nicely and so beautifully the way that the Lord orchestrated for the prophet to write the words there and back in Jeremiah's day or Isaiah's day or whoever it was? This is not just pretty words on a page. This is life. Amen. He said, my words are life. Amen. It's something that comes and quickens us. And when you come against an obstacle in your life and there's a problem in your life and you don't know where to turn, you don't know what the answer is, I have the answer for you this morning. Amen. It's right here in the Word of God. And I'll say, you know, I'll go further to say it's not just as simple as just opening the book and reading the words, because the devil can do that. But the Word has to come off the page and become life in you. Amen. You have to take him at his word. It has to become a revelation to you. You can get up and say, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, and read it on the page. But until it becomes a revelation that it's not just somebody once upon a time that said I'm healed, but it's a personal revelation to me that by his stripes, Nathan Bryan is healed. By his stripes, you read your name in this morning. By his stripes, I am healed. It's a personal revelation to me. He said he would never leave me nor forsake me. That wasn't just some me back in the Old Testament or the New Testament. He's talking to me personally. He will never leave me. He will never fail me. He will guide me. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know, people that are born of the Spirit are hard to be understood sometimes. Because their intent may be to do something, and then the Holy Spirit may lead them around to do something completely different. Can you imagine? You know, the managers with Brother Branham, them and Brother Branham, if you go back and read the message, you find they butted heads a lot because they would have a schedule and the managers were dead set on keeping the schedule and Brother Branham was dead set on letting the Holy Spirit lead him and guide him. And if the Holy Spirit led him contrary to the schedule, he said, hey, the schedule's good. If we don't have any other plans, that's fine. We'll stick with the schedule. But when the Holy Spirit leads a different way, then we'll just put the schedule to the side. Amen. It would behoove us to be more like that. He said he was constantly late. He said, I was even late to my own wedding. He was about 2 hours late to his own wedding because he had to go on a sick call. Now, he wasn't like a lot of us. He didn't just over-obligate himself and over-commit himself and not do good management with his schedule and his calendar. But when there was a need and when the Holy Spirit was leading, he dropped his plans and did what the Holy Spirit was leading him to do. Amen. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you. The Holy Spirit can tell you where to go and what to do and what time to do it. And let God be your calendar organizer for a while. Things will work out a lot better. Amen. Brother Bam says in The Expectations, 1958, he says it's not necessary to know where you're going just as long as you're being led by his Spirit. See, many times we want to know, we want God just to roll out the map and show us the end from the beginning and tell us, well, I'm going to bring you up over here and then I'm going to take you around there and then you're going to meet a little trial here, but it's okay, I'll be with you through it. And this person's going to say something bad about you, but then I'm going to give you the victory to get over that and get past it and forgive them. And then I'm going to bring you around to here. And we want God just to roll out, you know, his plan to us like that. But many times God, and I would say 99% of the time, God is not going to do it like that. But it's not necessary for us to know where we're going. It's necessary to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, Israel, when they were journeying in the wilderness, they knew that their final destination was the promised land, but they didn't know exactly the route they would take. And maybe the great generals and things could roll out the map and they could say, well, look, here's from point A to point B. This is the way that we should go. Moses, look, there's good water here. There's different camel trains and things that have marked these places. There's a little oasis right here. Might that be a nice place for us to stop? And we could place our tents there. And there's some palm trees that would give us shade, and oh my, that would just be perfect. And you know, we could do this and do that. And but God would say, well, that's the land of the Philistines. And if I take you through there, you're going to turn and run right back to Egypt. So I'm not going to take you the direct route. And then he would begin to bring them around a different way. And they would get all the way to Kadesh Barnea and almost go into the land. We may look at it in a few weeks. And they would look right over into the promised land. And they would send out spies into the promised land. And the spies would come back. And 10 would give a bad report. But 2 would say, hey, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Look at the size of these grapes. What the prophet's word said is true. And not only that, we're more than able to take the land. God, give us some more Joshuas and Calebs. We're more than able to take the land. And here these other 10 come back and said, oh my, yes, there was milk and yes, there was honey. And yeah, they brought back some grapes for you from our trip. But oh my, there's giants in the land, the sons of Anak. And we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And the people begin to weep and they begin to cry. And they begin to say, let's get us some captains that can take us back to Egypt. And God said, hey, I'll just come on the scene and destroy all of them. And Moses threw himself in the breach and he said, Lord, don't do that, because then they'll say that God was able to bring them out of Egypt, but he wasn't strong enough to sustain them. He wasn't strong enough to bring them to the promised land. Now, it wasn't that Moses had a better idea than God had. It wasn't that Moses had a better plan, but God knew what Moses would do and how he would react and what he would say. And it was the Spirit of Christ in Moses speaking there and placing himself in the breach for the people, just as Christ would do for us, even through all of our sins and mistakes. So God says, okay, I won't slaughter them here. I will bring them through to the promised land. But what will happen is those that are 20 years old and upward that were fighting men and men that were able to go to war and fight in this battle, all of them are going to die off in the wilderness. And you're going to wander about 38 more years in this wilderness because you didn't obey my voice and you didn't have confidence in me to perform what I said. And then the people begin to murmur and complain about that. They said, oh my, you know what? We don't want to wander 38 more years. We don't want to see our sons and our daughters and all these, our grandchildren, different ones. We don't want to see them die off. Let's go ahead and take the land. Too late now. You've doubted God. He's not blessing you. And so they took a group of them and began to go over, and they got wiped out, the group that went and tried to fight. Why? Because they weren't following the pillar of fire. So now God would lead them. They'd go over here for a while, wander through the desert, and a journey that should have taken them a few days takes them a 40-year journey in the wilderness. And they would set up their tents and maybe stay for months in one place, and then the pillar of fire would lead them somewhere else, and God guiding them and leading them. They would murmur and complain. They would have their Dathans and Korahs, and the earth would swallow some. They would murmur and complain against Moses and Aaron, and fiery serpents would come and bite them, and many would die, and many would perish by plagues and different things as they journeyed in the wilderness. But finally, there would be two that would go over and take the land of the original, and there would be a new generation that would rise up and go and take the land, because God was just to fulfill his promise. Amen. But how important it was for them to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. God will keep his word, but we have to follow him. And sometimes maybe they thought, well, wait a minute, I just looked at my compass, Moses, and actually the way we're headed today is absolutely in the opposite direction of the promised land. I know, Maybe he didn't understand himself, but he said, but look there. See that pillar of fire hanging out in front of us? You do what you want to do, but he's kept me so far. He's never failed me. When I got to places there was no water, he provided water from the rock. When I provided places I couldn't get through, he separated the waters for me. When I got in situations where I couldn't even feed my family, he rained bread down out of heaven. He's treated me just fine so far. I'm going to keep following the pillar of fire. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's my heart this morning. He's never led me wrong. Oh, I've went the wrong way many times, but it wasn't because he led me wrong. It was because I was too stubborn to listen to his leading. Because I wanted to get ahead of the pillar of fire, but he'll never lead you wrong. So it's not necessary that you know just where you're going, as long as you're being led by his Spirit. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. Led by the Spirit, 1950, Brother Bram said, the greatest thing I found in Christian life is letting the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. Amen. You look at your own family life. You look back down through your life's pathway. And I believe every one of you, your testimony would be all the best things in your life, all the best decisions in your life, all the best times in your life is when you can look back and see I was really in the will of God at that time. I was letting him lead me and guide me. And then all those times when everything just went wrong and fell apart and there was trouble in your family and trouble in this and sin began to enter in and heartaches and stress and tribulations, it was probably because you started doing the leading yourself and wanted to get out a little bit ahead of the Holy Spirit instead of letting him lead you and guide you. The Great Coming Revival, 1954, he says, the Holy Spirit is the guider of the church of the living God today to lead them into the truth and all light. Again, the Great Coming Revival, 1954. Look, the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will lead and guide you into all truth and will show you things to come. That's the sign of the church today. Watch where the Holy Spirit's moving. Where the Holy Spirit's moving, you'll find love and joy and peace and signs and wonders and the associated God. Amen. So if our church begins to get away from that and we find out, you know what, when I come to church, I don't find any love anymore. I don't find any joy. I don't find any peace. All I find is drama and contention and backbiting and fighting and things like that. And I don't see any miracles anymore. What's happened? Somewhere we got out of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Somehow men got ahead of the Word and got ahead of the Holy Spirit and began to place their own ideas and their own thoughts and their own things in there. And then that gentle dove, he's a gentleman. He won't force himself on you, but he'll fly off to that limb for a while till you're ready to come back and follow his leading. And then things begin to go wrong. Then you begin to see troubles in the churches. And then we scratch our heads and wonder why. Well, is it because we got away from the Holy Spirit's moving? Because if he's moving, you'll find love and joy and peace and signs and wonders in the associated God. Now that doesn't mean there won't ever be troubles. Brother Branham said in Christ is the Mystery, 1963 there, we call it the Word to the Church. He said, you're one big, happy, sweet group right now. And he said, but Satan won't let it stay that way. He'll try to send somebody in with poison darts to try to upset and to say things about your pastor and to say things about this one and say things about that one. But he said, that's when the time, don't get clannish and don't pick sides and do all that. He said, that's the time just to cling that much closer together and to pray for one another. So I'm thankful that we've been faithfully taught. Amen. So that we can identify if the enemy tries to do something, we can, well, not us, but the Holy Spirit leading us can stop him right in his tracks and say, uh-huh, yep, I was warned of this by a prophet of God, and he told me exactly how to handle this situation. Because where the Spirit's moving, you'll find love and joy and peace and signs and wonders of the associated God, the power of God amongst his people. Like this, we'll be showing signs and wonders of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus said the things that I do shall you do also. Greater things than this will you do, for I go to my Father. And you'll see the things that Jesus did will be accompanying that group of people. It might behoove us to go back and read the Gospels and see some of the things that Jesus did and the way that he talked and the way that he healed and the way that he prayed and the way that he preached and the things that he did, because the things that he did will accompany the true believers. Again, Melchizedek, the great prince and king, 1955, the very same spirit that was up on him has come back to be with the church to lead and guide it. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? that we don't have to worry and fret, be anxious and troubled about every little decision that comes up or every time there's a trouble that rises up, that we can have complete dependence on God. You say, Brother Nathan, I'm going through something right now that I don't know what the outcome's going to be. I would covet your prayers, and I'd ask for your counsel or your help or any scriptures or quotes that you think might encourage me. I'm going through something right now. Maybe it's something that's greater than you've ever faced in your life, and maybe you can't even pinpoint exactly what it is, but you just know there's something that's wrong, and there's something, a battle that you're facing, and the devil's got you all worked up and all anxious and all troubled. But I want to remind you this morning before we close of a group of disciples that they were in a situation like that one night out on a sea. They were in a boat, and the boat was beginning to be compassed about with water and waves, and to the spot where it was even filling the water, the boat was filling with water, and they began to cry out and to be afraid, because scientifically, historically, every way that they could think of it, looked like it was the end. This storm had come up out of nowhere on the Sea of Galilee. And here they were compassed about, the winds and the waves and the waters. Maybe one of them said, yeah, I lost an uncle in a storm like this. Or yeah, I saw a boat where this happened one time. I was standing on the bank and saw a situation just like this, and she sank right to the bottom. Maybe this one or that one have different experiences. Or maybe they could look and see what the storm was doing. And being fishermen and boatmen, they knew what was ahead. And they began to cry out in fear, but they had forgot who was sleeping in the boat with them. He was right there in the boat with them, Brother Jonathan. He hadn't left them. He was right there with them the whole time. And they begin to dismay and to cry out and to fear and anxiety and stress and all these things that begin to build up on him. And he wakes up. They said, Master, what are you doing sleeping through this? Don't you care that we perish? And he walked over. He didn't wring his hands, and he didn't cry out and scream. And he just walked over calmly, placed his foot up on the bow of the boat, and he said, Peace, be still. And the winds and the waves just... They said, What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves would obey him? He's still the same Jesus. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever the winds and the waves and the trials and the troubles of your life, he's still speaking to storms this morning. Amen. He can still speak to your need. He can still speak to your situation. You can get troubled and upset and worked up. All it'll do is just give you an ulcer or give you heartburn or give you some kind of stress or whatever, rob you of your sleep. It won't do you any good. Brother Bram said there's no positive in fear at all, only negative. But he said faith, that can change things. Prayer, that can change things. Amen. Still the same Jesus Christ this morning for whatever you have need of. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, I know in this age of pressures, Lord, if Brother Branham would come back in the 60s and preach a sermon on letting off the pressure and how needful that was, of the stress of the day and the hustle and bustle and running to and fro and driving 90 miles an hour here and there to get somewhere that we don't even know where we're going or why we're going so fast and all these pressures of life that begin to build up. If he would preach that back in the 60s, Lord, how much more is the pressure of life now? Many years have gone by, and technology has changed, and culture has changed, and there are things, Lord, that we're facing that they weren't facing back there in the 60s. Pressures and stress and doctrinal differences, even within our own ranks, and arguments and fusses, and Lord, it's such an age of pressure, but yet we find that you're a God that pressurizes us. You're a God that takes us through the pressures. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your mercy and your grace to us. Thank you that you still lead and guide your little bride, Father. Lord, not just here, but all around the world, Father, you're preparing a bride. Lord, how Satan would love to get us worked up and upset and fighting one another and get us to lose our focus on you. He'd like to get us busy trying to do works and go through the motions and trying to be a better this or a better that than somebody else and comparing our lives with this one and that one. But Lord, may we just, like Mary did, sit at your feet for a while. Sit at the feet of Jesus and let you comfort us and speak to our hearts. Let you do the leading and the guiding, Father. Lord, let us lay aside all the troubles of the world and all the pressures of life and just get into your presence long enough, Lord. Every day, Father, may we take that time, that daily dying, to where you could speak and you could lead and you could guide. You could take the pressures off when we begin to realize you've got it under control. You know all about it. You knew it before we came up against whatever the problem is, whether it's physical or spiritual, financial, whether it's a temptation, whether it's a family problem, whatever it would be, Lord, you knew that we would be in this exact moment, in this exact time, in this age that we live in. You knew the circumstances that we would face, and you called us to such a time as this. Lord, I know sometimes you allow things to happen just to see how that we'll react. And Lord, not because you don't know how we'll react. You knew before the foundation of the world what our reaction would be, Father. But Lord, many times you're proving to us, see, I am with you. I can lead you and I can guide you. You're more sanctified than you thought you were. You're better than a better Christian than maybe you thought. You had more faith. Brother Branham would tell the people many times. He'd say, sister back there, God's healed you. You had more faith than you thought you did, didn't you? Many times God is proving us, showing to us that he's with us and he's leading us. He's guiding us. Lord, help us to be dependent on you. Help us to realize we can't figure it all out, no matter how much, how late we would stay up and worry and prepare. Lord, it's usually never going to be the way that we have it all worked out in our mind anyhow. And usually we've made a big ordeal out of something that was just petty and not even anything that was as big a deal as we thought it would be. And we've wasted time and energy worrying and stressing and instead of just depending on the God that would bring us through it. Help us, Lord. May you teach us this morning. Lord, I need this too. Lord, I need, there's many things I just need to lay down at your feet and just let you take care of, Father. Lord, I don't claim to be exempt from these things. Our human nature tries to pull us into worry and anxiousness and all of these things, Father, that we talked of this morning. Our human nature tries to drag us back into that, Lord, but help us, Lord, not to depend on our nature. But Lord, we want to be dependent on your nature, Lord, that your nature would come and mold us and make us and change our thoughts to your thoughts, and our will to your will, our spirit, Lord, to your spirit. Help us, Father. We need your help. We need your guidance. We need your word, Lord. We need you to speak to us and reveal your word to us to help us navigate our way through our lives and our decisions, Lord. Give us wisdom, Lord, as parents, as spouses, as friends, as Christians. Give us wisdom, Lord, how to handle situations. Help us, Lord, to do it the way that you would do it. Lord, you had so much grace for us, so much mercy. You were so patient with us, Lord. Help us to extend that same type of grace and patience to others, Father, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Learning to lean. Oh, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. And I'm finding than I ever dreamed. Oh, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Oh, I'm learning. Yes, Lord, help us, Father. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean.
Sad, broken hearted, at an altar in prayer, I found peace that is so serene, and all is a childlike trust and a heart that is learning to lead.
Oh Lord, I'm learning. Yes. There's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend who's watching over me when the breeze turns into a gale. So I know the master of the wind.
I'm so glad this morning. Way together. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the heights. Oh, among the peaks my soul can't be found. Then some old unexpected storm, it may drive me from the heights. Well, it can bring
an eagle to the heights, among the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm, it may drive me from the heights, it may bring me low, but it won't
this little chorus, help me sing it. You believe he meets every need? Amen.
Every need supplied.
say that from your heart?
Every need supplied. Every need supplied. Healing, cleansing, sweet peace inside. Every need supplied once more. Oh, every need supplied. Oh, every need supplied.
There is none like you, and no one else can touch my heart like you do. Oh, I could search for all eternity long and find there. And no one else can touch my heart like you do. Oh, I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you once more. Lord, there is none like you. Oh, no one else could touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Let's try this morning.
Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher, oh lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. Like that once again. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, oh lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men unto me. I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, take up your weapons and flee. For the Lord has given me authority to walk all over. You're thankful for that authority. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, oh lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. I command you, Satan, in the name
Lord. Take up your weapons and flee, for the Lord has given me authority to walk all over me. Lift Jesus higher. Amen. Greet one another as you go this morning. God bless you. For the world to see, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Oh, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, take up your weapons and flee, for the Lord has given me authority to walk all over thee. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Oh, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, take up your weapons and flee. For the Lord has given me authority to walk all over thee. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Oh, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, take up your weapons and flee. For the Lord I've read the back of the book and we win. No more living in darkness, no more living in sin. There's no need to worry if you're born again. I've read the back of the book and we win. I've read the back of the book and we win. No more living in darkness, no more living in sin. There's no need to worry if you're born again. I've read the back of the book and we win. I've read the back of the book and we win. No more living in darkness, no more living in sin. There's no need to worry if you're born again. I've read the back of the book and we win. I've read the back of the book and we win. No more living in darkness, no more living in sin. There's no need to worry if you're born again. I've read the back of the book and we win.